is the Telephone Pioneer Museum of New Mexico. We are closed for the holiday month beginning November the 21st through the 3rd of January. We will be open again on the 5th of January, 2004. Should you need a special tour, please call Gigi Galassini at 292-9833. Thank you.
What about Walmart, if I can, like, pump that
Walmart
out?
Walmart is evil.
Walmart is evil. They're the devil.
They are the devil. They sell used cars in Texas.
Do they?
I'm not even kidding you. I was there when they were doing it.
Well, they're petitioning to take over the whole parking lot at Guilford and triple the size of their store.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
They want to put in a grocery store. And
they're all, like, fun.
I got a mole. I got a guy on the inside who knows.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a mole.
When the structure
is crumbling down, you need a good man on the inside.
Walmart mole.
Walmart mole. We'll put him on the show next. The Walmart mole. That'd be tight.
The number called has been changed to telephone number 0171 8 9 1 4 5 6 7.
Kein Anschluss unter dieser Nummer.
Suchen номер Жуюга.
Набранный вами номер не существует.
您拨的号码不存在, 请查询后再拨, 谢谢.
This is the Goat Roper, and you're listening to Radio Freak America. Technology, privacy, and freedom around the world.
All right, you guys notice that last week's ep was exactly 60 minutes. Did anybody notice?
How about that? I'll listen to you.
Whoa, one at a time. I got Bland and Mute with me. Unbelievably. Bland, what's up?
Nothing much, man. Just chilling.
Did you notice?
Yeah.
No, you didn't. Mute.
I don't listen to shit anymore.
You're too busy with chicks.
Yeah, chicks and, school.
Play a piano. All right, let's start with an email. This is RFA95, by the way. I'm Dual. 95, damn.
We're getting old.
You're telling me, man. We're going to start with an email. This is a good one. Dear sir, I don't know who they're talking to. I guess, it's to me. Oh, check it out. He sent it to Dual at freaksandgeeks.com. Thanks for the email address icon. I guess it's to me. Dear sir, I was just wondering why Old School Freak has a .com ending. The .com ending was meant for commercial companies. Are you selling anything? Are you a company? Thank you for your time and your service, Espen. I hope I don't butcher your name, Espen.
Let me take this one.
Please do.
Your mama.
Now. No, we're not. I don't know. Those are rhetorical questions, obviously, because we're obviously not selling anything, right? The shopping cart is not down right now at oldschoolfreak.com. Let me break this down into two parts. First part, why it's .com. When I registered oldschoolfreak.com, I don't know when, I chose it because it sounded the best. Oldschoolfreak.org and .net didn't sound quite right. I like the ring of .com. And the added benefit, .com is the, come on, face it, the most recognizable top-level domain. So that's why. That's why it's oldschoolfreak.com. There's lots of places that don't sell anything, that aren't businesses, that are .coms.
Well, like, what happens if they had .sex? I think we would have that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What, Bland?
Yeah, if there was like .bkke or something.
No. Did not we discuss this at the beginning of the show?
Okay. I'm going to rein it in. No, but seriously, I mean, I own blandinquisitor.com, and it's just, it's like, it's the number one domain suffix, I mean, blandinquisitor.net. That just sounds ghetto. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. Let's think differently. Let's be like those Japanese architects, right? With, like, glass walls around the bathroom.
Hey, Wintermute.net sounds peachy.
Actually, it does sound very good.
And .com is just like, shit, that's horrible.
.net does sound better.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's more Gibson.
Oh, it just fits. Just different tastes.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, I think there's another added benefit. Maybe I'm just a wacko. But if .coms are for commercial entities, right, which I guess in the strictest sense they could be, then why don't we slurp them all up, baby? Why don't we jam them? Let's take those .coms and then put sites that donate money to the EFF and give out security numbers for Quest, right? Let's do things like that with those .coms, and that's what we do. So, thank you for the email. That's a good email. That was a very slip-like question. Slip mode, I like talking to Slip mode, because he, props to him, by the way, he always makes me rethink and re-look, right? Look again at what I'm doing and make sure I'm doing it for the right reasons, right? Make sure I'm doing the right things, right? And that's this question like that is that same very type of question, so I appreciate it. Let's go straight to the freak news. Bland, hit it. Thank you very much. That was genius. You heard the recording at the beginning of the show. That was the voicemail for the Telephone Pioneer Museum. Yes, right here in New Mexico, we have a Telephone Pioneer Museum. I wanted to go there. I have some time off, right? Right on. I'm going because I can't go any other time. They're closed for a damn month. When everybody has time off, they're closed. Whatever. So, let me read briefly here. It may be one of New Mexico's biggest non-military secrets, but it's sure worth checking out, especially for people who remember blah, 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 blah. This is not well written.
That's for public consumption.
Yes, yes. The Telephone Pioneer Museum of New Mexico at 110 4th Street Northwest on the walking mall north of Central Avenue in Albuquerque is 6 years old. It has a wide variety of interesting educational displays augmented by audio explanations describing telephone and communication gear and artifacts from New Mexico, and is housed in the original and restored 1906 brick AT&T Central Office Building. Yes, I'm dying to go to this place, but they're closed. So as soon as I can, I'm going to go. I'm going to try to take some pictures, maybe some video, talk to some people. Maybe I can get some audio for the show. That would be great. I'm dying to go to this place. I'm looking at a picture right now. Surrounded by some of the museum's artifacts. I got some big light phones. I got some big freaking switchboards. It just looks awesome. So,
you bring your Captain Crunch whistle.
Yeah, they'll know all about that. Dude, the ladies in the picture, I guess they like run the place. They're like, dude, you know how we're on show 95, right? These ladies are 95, man.
Ooh.
That's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
Land loves the old women.
It's called mature, I think.
Mature. Oh.
He's into that mature fetish. That's it. That's it for the freak news. But thank you very much. This is going to be a quick episode, by the way. I don't know if anybody knows that. Last week was 60 minutes on the dot. This week is probably going to be half that for many reasons. And there's not going to be a stream again this week, so whatever. 96 will be streamed. It'll be an hour long. You'll enjoy it. Trust me. Let me go. Before we get to you, mute, I've got two other things. PWF, you also heard, hopefully I ripped it, some audio from the Sean Kay TV show where they talk about Walmart. And they talk bad about Walmart. Yeah, hopefully you heard it at the beginning of the show. Just recently, we updated PWF with a corporate scan, emergency PA code, some really good stuff. And why do we do it? Why do we keep doing it? Why does it keep growing? Why does it keep changing? Why do people keep contributing? Well, for many reasons. Reasons we've talked about, reasons that are well documented on the web, in books, everywhere, on NPR, for crying out loud. And if you don't believe me, believe these two things that I just heard recently. One, I was on a plane, and a man, kitty quarter from me, right, was talking to another man in front of him. They obviously knew each other. They were talking business. Hey, what the hell, I'll listen in just a little bit, because I heard Walmart. Ding, 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 ding. Boop, boop. I heard Walmart, that's right, so I listened in with my bionic hearing. And what did I hear? Oh, yeah. Once the Walmart opened up, it destroyed some blah, blah, blah small town. The businesses there, they just all went out of business and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I really hate Walmart. I hate to shop there, but sometimes I have to. The other guy, yeah, I hate Walmart too, but they're my best customer. Can't stand them, but they're my best customer. That's a very telling statement. Very telling. Next, I have a father, like everybody that is alive has a father.
No.
You don't have a dad?
No. I'm just saying there's some people.
That don't? Like what, test tubes? What?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Well, I have a very nice father. He was on the show.
It wasn't
a while back. He did the intro to, screw it. I don't know which one. Like 65. Yeah.
Okay, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
He did an intro. That pioneer.
Oh, your dad.
That pioneered the set in your own intro.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But he is your father.
Yeah.
You have a father. I have a father. My father, very intelligent man. Listens to NPR. Heard a piece about Walmart. Called me up. And he knows nothing of PWF. Okay? Nothing. But he called me up. We talk a lot, as we're prone to do. He called me up and said, you know, Walmart is pretty evil. I said, son of a bitch. You know? This is a highly intelligent, successful man who listens to NPR. And he calls me and we talk about the evils of Walmart. What they do. And it was... And he, of course, he's much more intelligent than I, heard NPR, he's well-educated, talked about what they talked about on the show in that segment, how, just like, you know, we're destroying the Earth's atmosphere, you know, we're accelerating the destruction of our own planet, Walmart is accelerating basically the life cycles of businesses all around the nation, right? Sure, it could be fine if it was done over 20, 50 years, I don't know how long, but it's so fast, it's so rampant, right? It's so virulent that it's almost unnatural, right? In the economic flow, so they're destroying people like a rampant virus, and that's basically what he was talking about. What he told me about, and that hit home. So all the things we talk about, all the books, all the websites, everything that's documented, the people I've talked to, people who work at Walmart, and they tell me, yeah, I've got really shitty benefits. Yeah, there's long hours. Yeah, lots of things. So I just wanted to give you two real-life examples of why PWF exists. And not to mention this damn phone. So freak news, PWF, got the email. Last thing before we go to mute. And there's actually a topic that I'm glad both of you are here, and it's going to be music. And
we're going to mix that after the evils of companies.
Hell yeah. First, I want to do a small hacker's challenge. It was very popular, so I wanted to come back with one. This one is Perl-based. So here it is, right? It's going to be a quick show, so it's going to be a small hacker's challenge for you. Copyright whoever wrote those books. You're writing some Perl code. You need to capture a system command, right? The output of a system command to put into, let's say, a file name, much like in GhettoTooth. Which version 1 is out, by the way. So, let's say you want the date, right? So, you do a scalar variable, let's call it date, equals backtick date, and then the format, whatever it is, RF, backtick. Of course, don't forget your semicolon. So there's your line of code, right? My scalar equals backtick date backtick. And you're going to use that in part of the file name. What would be wrong with that file name using that line of code? Okay, there's your challenge. Think about it. We'll get it to you at the end of the show. Now, I'm very fortunate to have both of you on this show right now. Very fortunate. We're going to talk a little bit about music, one of my favorite things. Bland is an accomplished guitarist. You don't mind me saying that, I hope.
Oh, no. It's all lies, but... feel free to say it.
Whatever. I am mesmerized. As I told Bland before the show, you, Bland, are the Yo-Yo Ma of the community.
Yo-Yo Ma!
I saw Yo-Yo Ma on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood today, and I was enthralled. Absolutely enthralled. And Mute, who is an aspiring DJ.
Wonka Wonka. Yep.
Yes, who is going to woo the women with his turntable skills. Now, Mute. Now, there. And let me bridge this disparity here. Let me bridge this gap, right? You think, how can a classical guitarist and a DJ have anything in common? Well, they do, my friend, they do. And let me tell you why. Because they create something that touches people, that makes people feel something. Whatever they feel is different for every person, but they can both do that. If you don't think that good electronic music can't do that, you're sorely wrong, my friend. You need to expand a little bit. Bland absolutely does that with his playing. I'm just mesmerized when he plays over the phone for me. Live, it's unbelievable. So if I could, Mute, tell that story you told me about what a DJ is.
All right. Let me break it down. Basically, you know, I've had this little idea in my head for 2 years. Like, I've always listened to, you know, digitally imported, awesome radio, online streaming station of all electronic music of all variety. And, you know, oh, I need money for tables, and what do I buy, where do I go, all that shit. And everyone says, oh, go find someone that does it as well, and use theirs for a little while, see if you're any good. Well, no, I can't do that. So a year goes by, I'm like, haven't bought anything. So a few months ago, I say, you know, I got money. Let's go do this, see if it works or not. If not, sell them, be done with it. But I'm betting that I'll be semi-decent, so I'll keep them. So, you know, I save some money up, go to the record store, or actually specifically a specialty DJ store, get two tables, cartridges, you know, the needles for the records, the slip mats so you can stop the record and, you know, play with it. I'll go back in it later. And all that stuff, you ring me up to about 500 bucks, and I'm like, I hope this investment was good enough. And because you hear so much stuff from online, like, get this, get that, get this, get that, only buy this, don't buy that, all that. So I come home, and I have some crappy records I got from a store because I just picked up two records, I have no idea what they were, got them, came home, and, you know, started playing, and, you know, it's cool because I got, like, all electronic music, and it's fun. So I won't bore you with any more of that, but what you do is, in record, if you've ever seen a DJ play or you think about what they do, is they, as Duel said, you want to be it's obviously entertainment, but what a DJ does, since, you know, they're not playing an instrument per se, they're not, you know, up there on the guitar or on the drums or on the keyboard, they're playing other people's music instead of their own. So what a DJ has to do is say, what am I going to say? Like how a guitarist says through his guitar, what am I going to say through the music I play for the people? That's a little thought-provoking at first.
Very cool. Yeah, talk about how he has to, like, feel the crowd out and then, like, play him up to a crescendo.
Yeah, so, calm down. So, if you think about it, okay, for your first when you get your tables, you start playing, and then you have to learn something called beat matching, where you get the songs in tempo, so the beats are right, so boom, 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 boom. Those are all in line, and all the bars and all the stuff in music, in the music world, is in line, so it sounds like everything's the same. But then I quickly realized that, you know, that's not the problem in this. Like, I think that's hard, and I still haven't done it yet because I need more records, because I'd only have two, and I never went back to the record store, but I am going back this Friday with a lot more money to buy a lot more records, or a lot more good records, not just blindly like the last time. And what it comes down to is you can learn those skills given time, no matter what you do, as long as you practice. With anything, practice makes perfect. So you get the skills. But what a DJ really is you tell a story.
Ooh.
This is this part, the intro, the middle, the crescendo, the climax, the anticlimax, and then an end, or in whatever order you want, because you're become like a storyteller. And that's what you do in a club, and that's what the good DJs do. They get there, and they look at the people, and they say, are they having fun? What are their reactions to the music? Are they leaving? Are they coming? Are they going? Are they yelling at you? Are they flicking you off? Are they loving it? What are they doing? And that is what you choose. What chooses you to put the next song on. So you might start with a record, and everyone's going to love it, but if you don't choose wisely about the next record, everyone's going to hate you. So what you got to do is you got to learn your music like no one ever knows their records. Like, you got to listen to that song, you got to listen to it 100 times over, 1,000 times, whatever it takes, so you know what every part comes, you know every little nuance, you know it as good, if not better, than the person that wrote it. So when you come to the place, and you feel those people, you know what they want, and you serve it up.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Now, Bland, can I ask you something?
Sure.
can you get the same feeling, or a similar feeling, I should say, from electronic music as you can from, let's say, classical or some good, you know, acoustic classical guitar? Is that possible for you?
Oh, absolutely. I spend a lot of time in busy places, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spend a lot of time. Actually, I find myself spending more and more time at Walmart, believe it or not. And someone will walk by, pushing a cart, and the wheel will squeak. And I find myself going, you know, and
yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like, and just, I'll just roll with that, or like, you know, anything. I mean, anything. It's just you either have music or you don't have music. And I think a lot of people, like the really, really music lovers, have got it. And whether they choose to express it or whatever, they've probably got it. And just hearing anything, I mean, anything can cause an emotion. I mean, you know, someone running their fingernails on the chalkboard causes an emotion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and that's, you know, that's noise at best, right?
But I hear so much that it's just mindless beats, right?
Yeah.
Mute, do you have that? I mean, I'm assuming you do. Everything's a beat to you. You've got that love for music.
Yeah, it's not like, okay, when I was a little kid, I tried, you know, all those instruments. You go through that phase when you had to be a part of a band or something, and I sucked at instruments. I sucked at clarinet. I sucked at guitar. I sucked at clarinet because I didn't care. I sucked at guitar because I didn't have enough time on my hands and all that. I didn't have the drive to play it. But I do like electronic music, and, you know, I can sit down in a program like, I don't know, the stupid hip-hop EJ or, you know, I'll find one of those and I'll just lay a beat down and say, hey, that's pretty cool. But it's a demo, so I can't save it or I can't work with it more. Like today I just went into, there's a program called Reason, and it's I don't know how much it is. It's a lot of money. Too much for me, and I just downloaded the demo and just laid a little beat down. And, you know, I like that. I just get that in my head. I like that a lot.
Cool.
And sometimes I find myself pissed at myself and not listen to music, or I go a day by without listening to music. Now, I might not have as good a rhythm as some people, but I can, so that's why I like it so much.
Very cool. So, if I may, the overall message here is that electronic music is a legitimate form of music. If you want to be a musician, right, and you want to move people, and you want to be the Yo-Yo Ma of the community, you don't have to be a classical guitarist. If you like electronic music, you can do it. Electronic music is very popular in the community, I'm sure, as everybody knows. So I'm probably speaking to the enlightened, essentially.
Hey, Duel?
Yes.
I tell a really relevant story here.
Yes, please.
And it's odd hearing a really relevant story come from you, but here we go. In music school, we have to compose pieces. We had to compose, you know, one piece pretty much every semester, and that was like our final exam.
Amazing.
And the theory teacher would come in, and he said, "This morning while I was shaving, I had an epiphany." And that's when we knew the assignment was coming. And he would say, "You know what I'd really like to hear? I'd like to hear a clarinet and a cello. Bring me 32 measures." And we'd go and we'd do that.
Wow.
And I brought in one time, I made an electronic piece, and I called it Professional Shoeshine, because it was supposed to be he wanted to hear a barbershop quartet kind of style. There was a group that did classical pieces. It was like a barbershop quartet, and they kind of vocalized it like, you know, and stuff like that. And it was like a quartet. They did chamber music. And it was really cool. And he wanted to hear a barbershop quartet style of a classically themed piece of music that we had to compose. When you say classical music, that means like classical music. I mean, you know, you could say that Bach is classical. You could also say that Schoenberg is classical. I mean, they're completely different, but we call it classical music. So you had to compose a piece of music, and then you had to split it up for quartet. And then you had to make it bouncy, kind of like what a barbershop quartet would do.
Got it.
Okay. So anyway, we did that. And I wrote an electronic piece. And he listened to it, and he said that it was good. Actually, he said it sounded kind of like a he called it geek rap, which made me happy because that was like nerdcore like 4 years before I knew what nerdcore was. And but it's valid. The point that I was trying to make and the point that I'll make here is that the closest thing to classical music now, what we call classical music, there's 20th century classical, you know, and things like that, and it's pretty avant-garde stuff. You have to, it's an acquired taste. You have to have the want to listen to Webern. You don't just go aimlessly into a record store and buy Webern. But anyway, as far as rigidly constructing your music, the arguments that I made was that you could take pop music that you hear on the radio, and even as far back as the Beatles, and it's really, as Bob Dylan would have it, three chords in the truth. And it's just 1-4-5, whatever key, you know, maybe a 2 minor and a 6 minor for a bridge or a chorus, and then intro out, right? I mean, it's really kind of standardized. Pop music, yeah. Pop music has become its own set of rules. And, you know, and now they've, like, taken it to the nth degree by just, you know, stamping out cookie cutter everything, right? That's what pop music is now. And you feel like, you really feel like you buy CDs out of a gumball machine. And so the point that I tried to make was that someone to really care about the musicality of a piece or of a song, the people that care most are the electronic musicians. Whoa. Are Juno Reactor. I would say that Juno Reactor had more of a musical mind, and Juno Reactor cared more about form and substance and how long, you know, how many bars, you know, you want 4 bars here, and then you're going to add, you know, your 4-bar main melody, and then you're going to add a thumping bass under it, and then you're going to carry that out for, you know, for 8 bars, and then you're going to add like some frips or some sort of sounds on top of it, and it builds, and it's all, you know. If you know anything about music, and you take like a Juno Reactor piece, especially because they're my favorite, and just really analyze it, and if you really write it out, you really chart it. I mean, the thing charts like a symphony. I kid you not.
Really?
That they care so much. I mean, every beat has to mean something because there's a lot of really good, you know, electronic music out there. And there's a lot of really, really god-awful electronic music out there. And the thing that separates them, in my mind, is knowing where you're going to put your beats, knowing where you're going to put, you know, when to add things, to know, you know, to really, you have to construct this piece. I mean, because you were taking pieces, you're taking samples of other people's music, you're taking, you know, a lot of things that you didn't necessarily create. So what you have is a repertoire of every song ever written, ever put on vinyl. Okay, that is your instrument, and you have to pull your sounds out of it. You have to, you know, if you want the hi-hat in Under Pressure, you know, to go with, you know, the bass line of, you know, My Sharia Moore or whatever, if you want to use, you know, that progression or use the old CCR progression or whatever, I mean, you have to, I mean, God, you've got to know so much, and Britney Spears doesn't know it.
Fuck.
I mean, Pink doesn't know it.
Yeah,
the Juno Reactor does, that's the point that I tried to make. That's what I brought with that piece, and I think it's a relevant point to make here. That in music, you know, as far as sheer musicality goes, an electronic piece will be the pop song any day of the week.
That is amazing. That is so amazing. There's no stronger statement, folks. I think Bland just summed it up in that story. I'll be honest, you lost me when you started talking about like bridges and barges and all that stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. It's amazing, nonetheless, and I'd love to learn about it. That is amazing. You know what? I'm going to listen differently every time I hear digitally imported. I really will. That was fun. Thank you very much, Mute and Bland. Mute, are you still there?
Of course.
What is that creaking in the background while Bland is talking? What is it?
Yeah, I'm moving around. I'm looking.
All right, let's talk about you breaking your stuff.
I didn't break it.
Okay, whatever. Tell us why you didn't break it.
All right, listen up. Remember a few months ago, my iMac broke, or my book. Excuse me. I don't know if I said it or not. And then it broke again. And then
it broke again.
Luck would have it, as I was typing an article for Binary Revolution.
Really?
It breaks again. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay, let's stop you right there. We're trying not to cuss on the show.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
That memo.
Yeah, you know, you...
I forgot that.
You haven't been around, so that's okay.
All right, I'll try not to.
I like hearing you swear again, but, you know.
Anyways, I go to the store the next day, and I say, what's wrong?
You say, what the fuck is wrong?
I didn't say that. I said, what's wrong?
Earlier you said you called the guy stupid or something. What, are you stupid?
I'm trying to break it down here.
All right, go ahead.
Oh. He's like, okay, we'll send it back in for you again the third time. And I'm like, when do I get a new one? Because that's, you know, that whole point of...
Breaking it.
If breaking it, it comes back new. We have a policy where you don't get it new until it breaks a fourth time. And I'm like, okay, well, I can't really disagree with him. I'm not going to, like, get anything with by hitting him.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, I'm like, okay, yeah, fine. So I leave, kind of depressed, wanted to work on that article. Can't now, because it was about Macs, and since I'm without a Mac, I can't write it. I go home, I'm depressed, I'm on another computer. So today, I'm on Slashdot. And today on Slashdot, one of the best news organization, Stone to Ban, they talked about a leak Mac rumor about an iPod Junior. So it's like a 2 gigabyte iPod, really cheap because of a new mini hard drive technology, blah, blah, blah. Go to one of the sites, reading on it, because now I have a Mac, want to read up. Second story, under the iPod Junior, new class action lawsuit for owners of iBooks. I'm like, what could this be about? Since I know I didn't break it.
You're right.
Third time in a row. I mean, you got to be pretty up to, you know, break it a third time. So I'm like, this could be about me. So I read it. And other people have been having problems. The problem they call is a logic board problem, because instead of calling it a motherboard, I guess there's like parts that you can remove and put back in. So it's a logic board problem with the video. Because what happens when it breaks is the screen gets all these lines on it, and then it freezes up, and you can't use it anymore.
I remember you actually telling us that.
Yeah. So.
So it wasn't you.
It wasn't me.
Are you sure? Did you go down to the bottom? Did it say everybody except mute?
Yeah, I checked.
Okay.
Double checked. So I'm like, this is interesting. Maybe, I'll see something out of this. So I read all these stories. People have the same exact problems. Like, yeah, 2 months into it, it's out. Like, people that have really sad stories, because I have, like, a decent one. It's only a nuisance for me. I'm not paying any money, because when I got my iBook, I also bought the 3-year warranty.
Nice.
So it wouldn't have to pay. But some people are getting screwed because they bought it used, and then they don't have a warranty, and they can't get one.
Ooh.
And then 2 months into it, they have to go back to the store. They have to pay $150 to get it fixed.
Damn.
They go there every time and get a $150 repair. And you know, so I read all these stories. Apple reserves the right to, when they fix your computer, not put new parts in, but put refurbished parts in. What the is that with that?
Good censoring.
What is that? That's crap.
Well,
putting old parts. I mean, for all practical purposes, old parts in new computers.
Well, it sounds like they're just putting broken parts into broken computers.
Exactly. So I'm like, this is horrible. So I'm thinking, okay, well, what am I going to do? Well, I can't do anything, so I sign up for a petition, and, like, I checked, like, an hour ago, and there's, like, 800 signatures on it.
Damn.
This has been total from, like, a couple months. So...
Why don't you print that story up and take it in there, right? And after they fix it and give it back to you, right, that'll be the third time, hand them the story... And you say, the fourth time, right? And they go, yeah, drop that son of a bitch on the floor. Hey, it's broken again. Hand it back to him and get your new freaking iBook.
What I was going to do is, that's not the thing. It's not guaranteed that I'm going to get something and anything new.
Oh.
Because it's like, they're kind of, what the guy said, the official word was, they will, if it's within three, if each time it breaks within 3 months, they usually give you a new one. So, I mean, there's a lot of usuallys and sometimes and all that kind of words in it.
Crap.
Guaranteed. So I would hope next time I get an, if not, I don't want an iBook. See, I want two possibilities. I want either credit in the store, a full refund, and I would take the credit and buy a PowerBook.
Ah.
Because a PowerBook has no defects.
How much, what I think you should do, take your pops.
This is the other thing. You know Cafe Press, you know, they, if you send them an image, they'll put it on the back of a shirt.
Yeah.
Well, they have that. They have that for a, for this. They have a, in the front, it's an apple with a screw in it. And then on the back, it says, do you want to talk to me about my logic board?
Ooh.
But get that shirt, and I'll wear it into the store that day.
Very good.
Fourth time.
Well, I was going to say, get your pops, you two dress in black, go into the store, and, quote, accidentally knock over a G5 or something, and say, whoa, I bet you wouldn't want that to happen again, right? Right? You say, oh, what a horrible accident. I hope that doesn't happen again. Fix my book.
Yeah, fix my book. In Jersey.
What, Bland?
I got Uncle Tony up in Jersey.
Here we go. There we go. That's what we need. That's what you need here. Yeah, print that stuff up and take it in there.
Yeah.
Mute did not. That's the big news right here in RFA. Mute did not break a computer.
Yeah.
A computer in his possession was not broken by him. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You heard it here first on RFA. How's that Windows 2000 box, by the way?
It's, no.
Okay, this was a short episode. This is, just like the mini iPod, this is a mini RFA. Half hour. I hope it's a half hour. Let's give that hacker's challenge. Let's give the answer. I hope you thought about it. Again, I will discuss the question. You want to use system output. That's right. You want to use that output in part of a file name. So you use what? The backticks. That's right. You want to capture that output. So you have my scalar variable equals backtick, date, any formatting, backtick, and your semicolon, of course. Again, my scalar equals backtick, date, any system command, right? Backtick. What is the problem with using that in a file name? Well, here's what it is. Unlike the shell, when you use backticks, it will be nice and it will chop off the newline character. That's right. But in Perl, it does not. The backticks give you exactly what you get, and that is a new line character. So your file name will have a new line character in it somewhere. It will happen. Try it. Do a test. That's what will happen. And I got that, by the way, from Learning Perl by Schwartz and Phoenix. And I did. I tested that this morning, actually. I had that this exact same scenario for Ghetto Tooth. I had that date. I wanted the date, right, so I can stick on the end of Ghetto Tooth the log, just like Kismet logs. It'll be dated, right, to the minute even. And it was on the end. See, that's just the thing. Maybe I should try it. I should try it in the middle to make sure there's not a new line there. Because I tried it just like a crappy little test script to see where the prompt would come back up. And if I didn't chomp it, oh, that's the answer. I'm sorry. You got to chomp it. Obviously, you got to chomp parentheses, my scalar equals the backticks. That's the answer, by the way. And without the chomps, of course, the prompt would be a line down. After it's chomped, it would be right after it. So that's the hacker's challenge.
You're saying a chomp or a C-O-M-C-H-O-P?
Chomp. Not a chop. Chomp.
That too. I've never learned that.
You never heard chomp? Does chomp off the new line?
I thought it was chop.
I've heard of chop. It does something different, doesn't it? I don't know.
Chop just chops off the last character. Chomp gets rid of the slash n.
Yes, the new line character.
It's a whole new line. Gotcha.
Right. And if anything's ever wrong, I'm learning Perl myself. Please let us know. If you've got a hacker's challenge, also let us know. I would like to have more of these. They're a lot of fun. Give people something to think about during the show. Again, this is a mini RFA 95. I am Dual. Bland?
Yes, I am Bland.
Thank you, Bland.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. And Mute?
Always.
You are free for but a little while.
but a little while.
And I'm glad you spent that time with us.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, enjoy the radio shows.
Oh, you had a closing message?
No, not this time.
Are you serious?
Happy New Year, because if you're listening to this, you're probably listening to it in the new year.
That's very true. Actually, it's going to be New Year's Eve.
Okay.
So it'd be right before the new year.
Well, if someone in England...
That's true. That's very true. Or China.
China.
Right? All right, everybody. Later.